Well, I have my lifelines and I have my mountaintop checkbook. I'm all set. Mountaintop checkbook. I looked in it though, and we have an extra check in here. I don't know where this came from, but somehow we got an extra check in there, and it's all written and worn and everything. Sometimes it's real good just to open that up and go through those. Well, I really do want to thank Jerry for calling me and waking me up and asking me to teach. I get up kind of early in the morning and Jerry called and I was asleep, and so he woke me up. But that was a good phone call. I like that, teaching God's word. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. And you know, in 1 John 4:8 it says that God is love. God is love. All right? God is love. And grace is the practical application of that love of God. Okay? It's the manifestation in this world that God loves us. Now, by that, I don't mean like 1 Corinthians 13, where charity, we walk with the love of God in renewed mind and manifestation. That's something we do. I'm talking about what God did for us, okay? Without any involvement on our part, is what God did for us, all right? We're the product of God's grace, okay? We're that manifestation of the love of God. And I mean just by being here and sitting here, not by anything that we did. So without that love of God, there could be no grace. And without grace, probably about the best you can do is the law. But here we are in the grace administration. And we're the product of God's grace on a couple of levels. One, individually. Jerry was just talking about Skip Muskeet's story, how he got into the Word. Nick was telling me last night about his. And, you know, Nick was saying how he prayed for a month. And I know my wife Evelyn, you know, how she prayed. What's she getting me? Yeah, how she prayed. But I wasn't praying, okay? All I wanted to do was get rich. Well, get high and get rich. You know, that's all I was concerned about. And I knew there was a God. I grew up going to church. I was an altar boy. I knew there was a God, but I figured if I kind of like lived a good life and didn't hurt anybody, that God would just leave me alone, let me do my thing, right? Well, it wasn't working. And, you know, my first wife had left me with the two kids, came home, the house was empty, gone, man. You know, I wasn't a very nice person. People didn't like me because all I wanted to do was get rich, you know, kind of like using people and stuff. And but I had my membership. I was a broker. I was a trader on the exchange floor, you know. And I'm sitting there one day in the executive lounge, you know, and I got all the trappings and everything. And I just gave up. I said, God, there's got to be more to life than this. And before I got the words out of my mouth, a friend walked up and she said, hey, you want to go to a movie? It's a religious movie. She had been witness to it. It was a change film. A few hours later, I was sitting in a change film. A week later, I'm empowered for abundant living. All right? I wasn't looking for God. I was just looking for my next high. You know? I wasn't looking for God. All right? That's God's grace. That's His grace. He did that. He got me here. And then on another level, all right, Jerry forgot to tell you one part of the story with him and George. When they would go home and they'd say, man, I can't wait. Let's go to New Jersey. They didn't plan it, or any of the other great guys from California, you know, Steve and Dr. Joe and Howard, you know, Dr. Joe, what do you want to do when you grow up, Joe? I want to be a dentist in New Jersey, you know? These guys weren't planning this. And, you know, and Joe Armstrong out there in Montana, growing up under the shadows of the Rocky Mountains, out there where a river runs through it and all this stuff, right? I can't wait to go to New Jersey. It's the Garden State. Yeah. This wasn't planned, but we're all here. God did that, okay? God did that. And on an even greater level, you talk about, all right, it's the 4th of July, and you talk about Dr. Wirbel. That was quintessential Dr. Wirbel last night. Okay, that was great. That was him rolled up in one package, right? in this country, a man, a farmer out there, you know, Emma and Ernst Wirwald's son, was able to study the word and offer this class, you know, and people could have fellowships in their homes anywhere in the United States, and wows, you know, a bunch of teenagers with the Wowmobile, you know, and everything. Our daughter went wow, and there was like 15 kids in a Jeep with all their luggage on the back driving from Ohio to California, you know, that these kids could do that and not go into a town where the police, where they had laws that said they couldn't do it, all right? That's God's grace that we have what we have in this country. You know, here in New Jersey has a great history of believers. You know, from the in our history, the Dutch Reformed, you know, in Raritan in one part of New Jersey, the Quakers in South Jersey, you know, Puritans, Newark and all around. You know, we have this great history of the word and believers in the state of New Jersey, okay? And the great thing about this country, Dr. Wirwald said in the advanced class that the Constitution and the Ten Amendments are built on the word. In another segment, he said the only way to control devil spirits is with God's proper laws. We have them in the Constitution and in the first Ten Amendments, the Bill of Rights. You know where that was written, where that was all conceived, where it was put together? Oh, is that a dollar? In Nassau Hall at the College of New Jersey, at that time, at Princeton now, the College of New Jersey, John Witherspoon, who was a minister, and who would have been the Dr. Wirwald of his time, from what I read of him, he was a dynamic teacher like that. His student was James Madison for 5 years, who is called the father of the Constitution. He taught him those principles that went into the Constitution. He's often referred to as the grandfather of the Constitution. I can go on for 3 or 4 hours about that. I do every now and then because I do the tours down there and I explain this to people. You know, that's God's grace. That's God's grace that we have this country, that we can sit here the way we're doing in New Jersey. You know, this is the manifestation of the love of God, us sitting here. And not too many of us had a lot to do with getting to the point where it was available. Okay, once it was, we realized it, then we could believe and we could act on it. But God set it all up. God set it all up. If we look in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. And, you know, I was reading this stuff, and it's like, man, there's not much more I can add to this. We can basically just read through this. This has got to, you know, it's just got to burn a hole in your heart. 3:20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, okay, that's what we're dealing with here. The righteousness of God, okay, not the Pope. You know, not the Iman or the Ayatollah. All right, we're talking about the righteousness of God. You know, I don't want to leave out the rabbi. I don't want to leave anybody out. Okay, we're talking about the righteousness of God without the law as manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Dr. Burrow was talking about that last night, the bridge that spans the gap, you know. The faith of Jesus Christ. Okay, unto all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely. What's the price? There is no price. Well, no price we had to pay anyway. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation. It's a nice word for the place, okay? The place. God set Jesus Christ forth to be the place through faith, through believing in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth, okay? Verse 24, we're justified freely by his grace, okay? By his grace, we are justified freely. And if you want to do a great word study, and I'm sure all of you have, okay, the words for righteousness, justification, you know, the Greek words, diakosuno and everything. Oh, the kids love it. I throw a Greek word out to them every now and then, and they love it because it's so funny sounding. You know, they like it, you know. They just laugh. Yeah. But we're justified freely by His grace, okay? Didn't cost us anything. All we had to do was jump on the bandwagon, okay? We see it also, look in Ephesians chapter 2. You know, when I took that class, the first session, now, like I said, I grew up going to church every Sunday, and I was an altar boy, and I took Power for Abundant Living, and the first session there, John 10:10, I never heard that in all the years that I had gone to church. Never heard that. Could have saved me a lot of headaches, you know, and looking for the more abundant life, you know, knowing it was right there in front of me the whole time, you know. I could still do the mass. I could go through the ceremony, but we never learned any word. It really ticked me off. But I was glad I knew it. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 4, Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, okay? We were dead in sins. Religion tells you that you have to be a good person before God will look at you, okay? You got to do all this stuff to bring yourself up to a certain level. You know, they got the theological cemetery down there in Princeton, and I get to talk to a lot of those guys. Great guys, but, you know, they believe that Jesus Christ can't come back until we do a better job down here ourselves. We're holding Him up, you know. That's what they believe, okay? But that's not what God did. That wouldn't be the love of God. That wouldn't be grace. That would be works, right? But even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, okay? By grace are ye saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where our butts are. That's where we're really sitting, okay, in these chairs here. But we're really sitting up there in the heavenlies, okay? And He raised us and He made us sit together, okay? A lot of us probably wouldn't choose to sit down with each other, you know, but God said, you guys just sit together and shut up. I fellowship with Raleigh Williams on a daily basis. Raleigh is my best friend ever, all time ever. And we come from about the most different backgrounds you could ever, you know. But, I mean, well, you know how it is. There's no reason we would have been together without the word. Just no reason. I like hunting until you kill the deer, and then you got to gut it and drag the sucker out of the woods. Oh, no, 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 no. I just go and shoot the gun. I ain't doing other thing. So, and if you know Raleigh, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, where are we? In the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Those are very easy, simple words, okay? Very easy, simple words, okay? That's what God did. In Romans 11:6. Romans 11:6 is another verse. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. Okay? It's grace. It's not work. In Romans 5:1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, okay, by the faith of Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, okay? Jerry talked about that, and all those graces and pieces together. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom? Jesus Christ. By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Folks, we stand in it. We're in it. We're in it up to our earballs. All these little things I learned from Dr. World, these expressions. I was like, I'm still trying to figure out what an earball is. But we're into it, up to it, all right? We stand in it, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, okay? We stand in it. God is trying to tell you Jesus Christ did everything, folks. He did everything, okay? You're in it. He put us in it. We're there. It's by grace are ye saved. Everything is by grace. And grace is God's love. God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. All of that. God loved, loved, loved. You're the manifestation of God's love. You're the living proof that God loves, you know? And if you're honest with yourself in your own life, you're going, yeah, I guess I am, because I know I didn't do it. All right? You know, you are the living proof of God's love, which is his grace, is what he extended towards us. All right? We didn't earn it. My goodness. You know, it's like Ephesians chapter 1. I was not praying for God to help me or any of this kind of stuff. I just quit. God was right there. That's grace. So don't ask Evelyn if she thinks it's grace, because she ended up with me. Although it's grace for me, because like she said, nobody else would live with me. In Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 4, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Was anybody here there that? Oh, that's another dollar. We're going to end up owing you money for it's over. None of us were back there to put our 2 cents in, you know, or to lobby for the position, you know. We weren't there, you know, or to get political with God and say, hey, God, you know, can I get in the club? You know, can I join the exclusive club? God did this way back. He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Okay, we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins, you know, according to the riches of God's grace. I mean, that's the standard that we've been forgiven. That's the standard by which we've been forgiven, according to the riches of God's grace. You know, God has made all of this available, and here we are, but we're all aware of the situation of the world around us that we have to travel through, we have to maneuver through. I was going to say manure through. I was thinking manure. we maneuver through the manure. And look at in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, and in verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou should not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. All right, I've got, when I cut my grass, I got some trees in the back, and there's some thorns and thistles back there. And I can't show you with this shirt, the scratch on my arm. I always have to like lean over to one side because those suckers hurt, and thorns and thistles, all right? But this, it's a curse. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. When Adam disobeyed God, you know, things were cursed. Why? Because the new landlord was not such a nice guy, and things were cursed, brought in a new landlord. In Romans chapter 8, we see some more of this. You know, sometimes, just because of, well, I'll just use myself the way I am, I appreciate more what I have in the Word by looking at what the world, what the alternative is. Like Peter said, you know, where am I going to go, Lord? It's you. You know, you got the answers. You know, what's the alternative? In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation, creature's creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know, so the whole creation, the whole ball game, everything is waiting for, well, eventually the return of Jesus Christ, you know, because it's all cursed. I mean, the whole thing is just cursed. In Luke chapter 4, and this, there's always a verse or something that really makes something live for you, and you hear what you would hear people say, how the adversary was the god of this world. Then you read in Luke chapter 4, verse 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. All right? So really, when you think about this, when you think about the Word, all the junk in the world really isn't all that mysterious as to why it's so bad. It's because the devil is the god of this world. This is what he does. You know, his ministry, you know, at his ordination, he was ordained to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's all you can expect from the dude. That's what he's going to do, him and his whole posse. You know, they're going to steal, kill, and destroy. So that's the world, and that's what the world does. Okay? And at one time, we were all a part of that, but we believed something, and we got delivered from it. And here, I'm going to show you this real quick. Revelation chapter 13. Not a chapter I go into very often. But, you know, we have not only been delivered for the here and now, we've been delivered for all eternity. It says we've been delivered from the wrath and all that stuff that's going to happen. In Revelation chapter 13, and in verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. We've been delivered from this. You know what this means? You think about, well, how can that happen? In the Gospels, the guy's parents were afraid because they wouldn't be able to shop and go to the temple and all that kind of stuff. Well, someday it's going to be where if you don't worship the adversary, because he wants worship, and he told Jesus Christ in Luke, he said, if you worship me, all right, he wants worshiped, he's going to force people to worship him, okay? They won't be able to buy or sell. That's what it says here, right? You get direct deposit in your paycheck, and you pay your bills online. And I love my little ShopRite card, you know. I use it all the time in my ATM, you know, all that, you know. All you got to do is turn you off, flick a switch, you know, and you can't get any money, you can't spend any money, you know. That's the way it's going. They can do it. They just had a dry run of all that when the government took over the banks and the major companies and everything, right? He's the God of this world. They're just getting ready. They don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back even more than any more than we do, you know, but they're ready to do what the Word says they're going to do. The point being, grace. We don't have to deal with all that. We just don't. We're seated in the heavenlies, all right? We're surrounded by that. You go to work, you know, we drive through it all the time, you know. We see it. We're surrounded by it. We work in jobs and in industries and companies, you know, where this is the standard by which people operate, all right? But it's not us, you know. It's not us. It's not us. We are seated in the heavenlies. And look in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8. So it started back there with Adam. He made a mistake. But in Romans 5, in verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Okay, that's established. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." We're saved from the wrath, so we're covered on both ends, okay? "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." All right? That's just not us, folks. That's problems that the world out there, that's not us. Okay? It happened. But what Jesus Christ did is so much greater. And we have so much more than that, okay? We have so much more, you know, unto eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. And look in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 19. Well, we don't have to turn there, but you know in Ephesians 6, it says, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness, okay? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You know, look in Galatians chapter 1. We have deliverance. We've been delivered. The world is what it is, but we're above it. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. You know, we've been delivered. We've been delivered, okay? It's been done. We've been delivered. And we didn't do anything to earn it. Jesus Christ did all the hard work. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2. See, I've always been very honest with myself about one thing. If I was with Moses when we started walking out of Egypt and I got hungry, we hadn't passed any McDonald's in a long time. I say, where's that road back to Egypt? I had some food back there in my kitchen. So I am really thankful about grace. Really, really, really. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, in 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, okay? That's the thing I want to bring up. This is where we stand. We stand in this grace. In chapter 6, Romans 6, and in verse 10, for in that he died, Jesus Christ, he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we're getting into things that we can do, okay, because of what Jesus Christ made available, because of where we are and what we have. Now there's some things we can do. Let not sin, your five senses, old man nature, you know, the news, all that stuff out there, the politics, you know, the economy, all that stuff, you know. Let not your five senses, your sin, therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts or the desires thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Okay? If I was with the kids, I'd make them all read this together. In fact, all right, let's do it. Everybody, 6:14, ready? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Okay? Very good. We'll have some extra goodies for you. Verse 15, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, if the choice were given to me as we were leaving Egypt and I was hungry, and they say, well, okay, you're hungry. If you go back, you're going to die. If you come with me, you'll live. Well, then I might have said, okay, well, I'll go with you, you know, but you better find some food soon. You know, the choice, that's the choice, you know, that's the choice. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Okay, so none of us, I mean, it was God's grace, God's love that got us, you know, to where we are. You know, God did all of that, okay? But at some point, you believed from the heart that form of doctrine. And I'm still not even talking about Romans chapter 13, the love of God and renewed mind and manifestation. You know, that's for the, you know, that's what you guys do, okay? That's what you do. But you believed that form of doctrine. You believed what Jesus Christ did, okay? You believed that, all right? You know, I'm still talking about the grace of God that made us who we are today, you know, and you know, then there's the things that we do with it. And so let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, we walk with the love of God and renewed mind and manifestations. You know, there are gifts that we have according to the grace that's been given to us. You know, things that we do, we operate within the one body. You know, those are all the things that we do because of God's grace, because of what he gave us. Those are things we do, okay? But to sum it up in one verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So you're to be strong, strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, and then you give it and you teach it to others, to other people. And my all-time favorite song, I guess you call it song, hymn, was Amazing Grace. And I remember looking up online one time because I was going to have to make this compilation of all these different versions of Amazing Grace. And I found out there are like 7,000 recorded versions of Amazing Grace. Oh, I forgot this. I had the lifelines here. I got to read this one. This is really great. It is a good thing God's call to love was not collect. Dr. Wiro. But Amazing Grace is my all-time favorite. So I wanted you to just listen to my all-time favorite of my all-time favorite.